This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
All right, my friends, we are halfway home on a pretty somber Monday for Padres fans. But listen, you wake up, you look outside, you see where you live, and you go, all right, life goes on. Certainly, I know it's not much of a salve for you this morning, but it is for me, you know, being able to live here and do what we do and talk about this team, which, you know, is certainly, there's never a shortage of things to talk about. I mean, we could be the Reds, you know, and it's like, all right, onward and upward we go. I'm not quite ready to turn the page on the season yet. I'm doing lamenting. I'm doing the what ifs as well. I'm just like you guys. I feel the exact same pain that you feel. My son, man, was pretty broken up. Watched the whole game with me the other night, and his little head on my shoulders, laying in bed, and what I call it, my pothole is what I call it right here, is the little area. He lays right in my pothole, and
that's what you call it.
That's what I call it. Yeah, my pothole. And he lays right here, and he just
isn't that the crook?
It's like the crook of your arm.
The crook of your arm.
Yeah, dude. And he's laying there on me. Hannah fell asleep. She was over it. And I honestly, when she fell asleep, I was excited because we've had like 14 comeback wins when she was falling asleep. And so I'm like, all right, things are turning in our favor. And he's laying there in my pothole, and the game's over, and little tears in his eyes. He goes, this sucks. And I go, it does. It really, really, really does. And but, man, he doesn't quit. He woke up the next morning, and he's playing ball, and he's got his Padres gear on and, you know, trying to do it the right way.
You know, there's something I want to push back on that I've seen, and there are Dodgers fans in our chat. And, again, congratulations to the Dodgers for winning that series. But they keep accusing, I think, us in particular, Tier 1's Padres fans, of getting our comeuppance for being overconfident.
That's such garbage.
I was never overconfident. Were you, any of you, overconfident,
dude,
in the Padres?
I never made a prediction that we were going to roll the Dodgers.
No,
dude, never.
Or win the World Series or anything.
I'm not stupid.
I certainly liked our team a lot, but I would never say I was even confident at any point.
Never.
Because I'm a Padres fan.
100%. You're a baseball fan.
At what
fan.
Point has any San Diego fan ever been confident in anything about their team? Everything that good happens in San Diego sports, whether it's the Aztecs advancing to the Final Four, the championship game, the Padres making the playoffs this season, it always comes as somewhat of a pleasant surprise because we're San Diego sports fans. The one thing that I will say that I was fairly confident about, and now I am not so sure about anymore, I really didn't think this was the Dodgers' year. All those other Dodgers teams of the last few years,
terrifying,
to me, seemed much better and much more dangerous. But with the pitching injuries and everything that they've gone through, I really felt like this was the least chance the Dodgers had to make that run through the playoffs. They had a much better chance last year, much better chance the year before that, the much better chance the year before that. This year, I really didn't think this was going to be the Dodgers' year,
yeah,
which was, you know, help the Padres' chances a little bit. And now here they are, up 1-0 in an NLCS that they now look to be. I mean, if they win today with their bullpen day against Sean Manaea, who's been really good, but Mets didn't hit the Dodgers any better than the Padres did, and if they can't hit that bullpen, if it's 2-0, there's a really, really good chance the Dodgers are at least going to the World Series. That would kind of shock me if this was the year that the Dodgers pulled off their first real championship, full season championship since 1988. I did not see that coming. And you know what? Neither did Dodgers fans. You were the most negative, pessimistic bunch from what I saw on social media. I saw so many Dodgers fans down 2-1, even before the playoffs started, throwing in the towel on this season.
Well, and throwing stuff on the field.
Yeah.
Turning on Mookie for doing a podcast. I mean, I said it last week. I've been telling all you guys, Mookie Betts is a good play. Me, on the Padres morning show, right? Telling you guys, Mookie Betts is a great player. He's not going to go 0 for forever. The Padres need to be careful with Mookie Betts. No, he did a podcast. He's a bum. Get him out of here. He's a bum. He's never done anything. Guy's red hot. Red hot.
Dave Roberts had already been fired in the minds
Give
of
me a break.
It seemed like a lot of the Dodgers fan base. Again, I won't paint everyone with the same brush, just like
I will.
Wasn't everyone throwing stuff on the field, but it was enough of you guys out there that I saw a ton of negativity about the Dodgers, not from Padres fans. Most of the negativity I saw was coming from Dodgers fans.
Yeah, no question.
So in that sense, I am a little bit surprised that they are playing certainly some of their best baseball, and pitching-wise, absolutely the best baseball that we've seen from the Dodgers in a long time on the mound.
Yeah.
They've been sensational. Not one of their actual good relievers has given up a run yet, right, in the playoffs. I mean,
no.
Padres got a bunch of add-on runs against the back end of the bullpen, but not any guy that Dave Roberts would ever call on in a big situation has given up a run for them yet in the
No,
playoffs.
Phillips was ungodly.
In six games.
Trinan's been ungodly. I mean, again, you know, you pointed to them, that bullpen and the round table, as being a key. They're really, really good. Nobody's talking enough about them. And they absolutely executed.
I didn't think they were perfect, though.
No.
They've been essentially perfect. It's not a zero ERA because they scored off that Henriquez. But that's about it. I mean, every guy has answered the bell for the Dodgers out of that bullpen. And that has been really the reason why they're still alive and up 1-0 on the Mets at this point.
Yeah, man. I mean, getting hot at the right time, certainly. But you hate to be the springboard that gets them there. You know, you really do. You hate that as a Padres fan. But, you know, credit where credit's due. They pitched really, really well. And you know, just completely changed our entire approach at the plate. But
I didn't watch a single pitch of game one last night.
No?
Didn't have it in me. Was just couldn't rally to watch that team go out there again.
Yeah,
because I just felt like
I watched every
we
pitch,
should be there.
Because
I watched
most of it.
Yeah,
but
I'm a
watching
sadist.
That result hurts more.
Yeah,
it hurts more.
Yeah, you think about if you're going up against Kodai Senga, like okay, I mean the guy hasn't he threw like three strikes out of like 27 pitches. I mean, like, why anybody would swing? I mean, when somebody, I think Will Smith popped out. Will Smith popped out, bases loaded. Guy had not thrown a strike. Popped out to center. Mookie did not tag. And everyone's going, what are you doing? Max friggin' Muncy comes up, gets a knock, 2-0, just like that. But that team, they're doing exactly what we did, you know, the entire season long. So just tough to go out like that. I get it. I feel your pain. We're going to be here for you. We're not changing anything.
Need a contestant for Take on Woods. We pushed it back an hour, but if you want a chance to call in and win a prize, we got a new prize for you this week, Player Musical Trivia Challenge. Woods is standing by. You can call us 833-288-0973 right now, 833-288-0973. Game two of the Mets-Dodgers series is today. It's a 108 start, so they'll have two games already completed before the ALCS gets underway tonight. And, of course, the ALCS will be the Guardians against the Yankees as the Guardians take it in five. The Tigers feeling that same sting as the Padres with a pretty incredible game on Saturday. Did you watch some of that
one?
With Tarek Skubal on the mound, you know, putting up zeros back and forth, no surprise at all. And then the Tigers push across one. It was Kerry Carpenter in the top of the fifth. And you go, okay, Skubal's got his run. This is it. They're going to do it. And then the bottom of the inning, they load the bases. Jose Ramirez gets hit by a pitch to tie the game. And then Lane Thomas. What I probably thought was the least consequential trade deadline move that any team made.
Ever. In history, maybe.
Well, Lane Thomas is available from the Nationals.
Okay.
Great. Oh, he went to the Guardians.
Great. Biggest swing of his life.
It's the grand slam that is the difference in the 7-3 win. And the Guardians are out there tonight at Yankee Stadium.
Crazy,
Alex Cobb on the mound against Carlos Rodon. Everyone seems to think the Yankees are massive favorites in this series, and they probably are. But
hard to count the Guardians out after what they were able to do. Didn't score for two games. Came back and beat Skubal.
Sound familiar, anybody?
Yeah, insane.
And what did they do? Major changes that they did
None.
In the last game of the series? Lineup changes?
Not a damn thing.
And they went scoreless the first four innings against Skubal.
Yep.
I mean,
They hit.
It's funny how quickly it can just turn. This the moment never came for the Padres. It did. Thanks to Lane freaking Thomas.
Lane freaking Thomas got you, man. And if you're Tarik Skubal, that's all you're saying all day. He goes, I let Lane Thomas get me.
This is his first home run given up in over a month. I think it was early September was the last home run that Tarik Skubal had given up.
Oh, I lost playoffs some money on that game. Oh, I lost
playoffs
some money on that game.
Playoffs are wild.
Excruciating, some might say.
No doubt about it. All right, looks like we got some callers. Let's get to today's game of Take on Woods.
It's time for Take on Woods.
Take on
Woods.
Take on
Woods.
I see a new name here. A Miles? You there? Let's go to Miles.
Me.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
I'm okay.
All right.
I'm like you guys.
First time trying to Take on Woods?
Yeah, first time.
All right, good luck. Here's how it works. It's five questions of musical trivia, head-to-head against Woodsy. He leaves the studio. He's gone now. You get to go first. If you can beat or tie Woods, we will hook you up with some tickets. This week we've got a pair of tickets to Orville Peck at the Calco's Credit Union Open Air Theater coming up on Saturday, October 26th. And to give you a bit of an advantage, we let you pick the category and we keep Woods in the dark. So here are your category choices. We got What's Up? Five songs with the titles that begin with what's. We've got On the Chessboard, every question having something to do with the game of chess. And then Stairway to Heaven, that is a category with heaven in all of the answers. So, what would you like to play? What's Up, On the Chessboard, or Stairway to Heaven?
Let's try What's Up.
What's Up? All right, apologies to those Budweiser guys, but this category is five songs with titles that all begin with what's. You'll have 60 seconds to answer as many as you can. If you don't know, you can pass. We'll come back to it if there's time left on the clock. First question, Miles, is our 2-second song. Paulie is going to play a little bit of a clip. You need to give me the title of the song and the artist, so both parts to score that point. And remember the category. Every song title begins with the word what's. Miles, you ready to play?
I'm ready.
Paulie, you good? All right, 60 seconds on the clock. Again, the category, what's up? Your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck, Miles. Let's take on Woods.
What's my name again? Blink-182.
It's by Age Again, but I'm going to give it to you. Also known as Pure Energy, which 1988 hit for Information Society, samples voices from the original Star Trek, including Leonard Nimoy's Mr. Spock.
Yes.
Angela Bassett starred as Tina Turner in the 1993 film that shares the title with which number one hit by Turner from 1984?
Skip.
A line repeated during an attack on journalist Dan Rather inspired the title of which 1994 REM song?
Next.
Let's keep going. Drake sings the first verse of which 2010 Rihanna hit that starts with Rihanna repeating "Una Na" followed by the title of the song?
What's my name?
Correct. Let's go back to also known as Pure Energy, which 1988 hit for Information Society samples voices from the original Star Trek. All right, we did get two. Tough category. Good job, Miles. On the first go around, that is not bad at all. What's My Age Again? Age Again by Blink-182. And What's My Name? What's On Your Mind is Pure Energy, Information Society. What's Love Got to Do With It is Tina Turner. And What's the Frequency, Kenneth, is the REM song from 1994. All right, tough one. See how Woods does on this one. Miles' score is locked in. Stay on the line, Miles.
Great name, Miles.
With a Y, I believe.
Oh, with a Y.
60 seconds back on the clock. Your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck, Woods. Let's take on Miles.
That's Blink-182, and the name of the song is Damn It. No?
On a pass?
Ben doesn't know that that's a Blink-182
song. Oh, that is a song. Oh, I thought you were
incorrect.
No, incorrect. Also known as Pure Energy, which 1988 hit for Information Society, samples voices from the original Star Trek, including Leonard Nimoy's Mr. Spock.
I want to know what you're thinking. What the hell's the name of the song? There is something.
Angela Bassett starred as Tina Turner in the 1993.
What's Love Got to Do With It?
Correct. A line repeated during an attack on journalist Dan Rather inspired the title of which 1994 REM song?
What's the Frequency, Kenneth?
Correct. Drake sings the first verse of which 2010 Rihanna hit that starts with Rihanna repeating "Una Na" followed by the title of the song.
Pass.
What's also known as Pure Energy, which 1988 hit for...
Incorrect.
And I believe we go back to Drake sings the first verse of which 2010 Rihanna hit that starts with Rihanna repeating Unana, followed by the title of the song?
That's a joke.
Oh, it's 2-2. Okay. Congratulations, Miles. That's a tie. That's good enough. We will hook you up with the concert tickets. Congratulations. Well
What's
done.
My age again?
What's
the
my
Blake
age again?
182 song.
What's on your mind?
What's
is
on
what
your
that
mind?
Song? You had you could
I
sing
want
it.
To know.
That's what's a jam. Think? Tell me what's on your mind. You got Very what's good. Love got to do with it? You got what's the frequency, Kenneth? And what's my name? Is Drake. Tough category. Miles, well done. You are a winner today.
I've been thinking you were just like, stalled. I know. Like, damn it. What is that song?
What's
no, that
my
was his
taint.
Guess.
I thought you were going with.
No, that's not a choke because it's a tie, okay? Like, that's a tie. You can't tie someone and choke.
I totally thought that he was just like vamping, like trying to
damn
think
it.
Of the.
Damn it. It goes. Yeah. I didn't. You know, category would help me.
Yeah, it would have helped. What's up with the category?
Oh, man. Damn it.
All right. We'll have a new game for you tomorrow. Miles, again, congratulations. We'll come back. Well, I've got a couple things I want to get to still from you. We're going to open the phones in a little while.
Yeah, for sure.
833-288-0973.
Get it off your chest.
But we got a couple more things to get to from Friday night's season-ending loss
to
the San Diego Padres.
Do we have
Padres.
More to get to on Friday night's season-ending loss?
Oh, what, are you ready to move on already? I don't know. I still got a little bit more left in the chamber. We'll come back after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Got some injury updates for you. It was, you know what made losing on Friday even tougher was that Joe Musgrove wasn't in the clubhouse with the team. He actually had his Tommy John surgery on Friday. And, you know, it makes sense to get it done as soon as possible.
Sure.
Because you want to get the rehab going. In fact, reportedly, Joe is hoping that, you know, if all goes well, he can start his beginning of his throwing program when the Padres report to spring training next year. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to pitch at all next year. That is a months-long rehab program of very light, you know, throwing. By the time you get up to full velocity pitching, you know, it won't be until probably near the end of the season when Joe is even to that point. Maybe there's like the remotest of chance that he could be ready for September, October baseball, but I think the Padres are pretty already accepting the fact that Joe's going to be out in 2025 and hopefully back healthy for 2026.
Well, and again, you know, we missed Joe a lot this season. We missed you a lot this season. The Padres managed to find a way to get it done. I think the team, you know, I got to tell you, man, honestly, one of the first people I thought of after the final out was recorded was AJ Preller. And I wondered... I'm just talking, you know, obviously that guy puts in 18, 19, 20 hours a day on this team and has for a while. Had his best season as a GM, you know, being hamstrung, having to cut a lot of payroll, having to get very creative with the moves that he made. And I thought about myself as somebody that covers the team on a daily basis with you guys, invested a lot in them, you know, spiritually, financially, all of it. It's a huge part of my life. And I thought about how bummed I was. And I thought about how sick to my stomach I was. And I thought about how I was not ready to turn the page and go, all right, well, okay, let's keep hope, you know, hope springs eternal. What are we going to do next year? I wonder how long it took him to, if he ever does, but how long it took him to be like, all right, so what do we need to do for next year? You know what I mean? Like how long did it, do you get right back at it? Because that's been his MO for a decade.
You know, I actually think that in when you're a GM, your job is mostly done after the trade deadline. And while you're hoping it all comes together, it's out of your hands at that point. I mean, there's tiny, you know, call-ups and, sure. and moves that you're going to make, obviously, but that probably occupies, you know, a small fraction of his time. I'm pretty sure that, you know, August 1st, AJ was already thinking, all right, what are we supposed to do for next year? That's really what his focus is. It'll be on scouting, you know, the next crop of international signings, the next draft, and of course, thinking about free agency and any offseason trades that he might be making. So
I mean, the winter meetings are in what? Less than two months away. December, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, the GM meetings are in November.
And those are even earlier. Yep. You know, I would say that he is already spending the bulk of his time on next year, even before the playoffs started.
Sure.
That's really the focus of a GM after August is done. And you know, publicly you don't talk about that, but on your whiteboards in your offices where you do all your planning, it's been 2025 for a while. You can't make any other moves really after August for this team. So his job moves on. Now
he's a scouter and you know, wants trying to get the edge. And again, I think you look at it. And I'm also reminded of the convo of Billy Beane and, you know, fake Art Howe in Moneyball of the, you know, because Mike Shildt now has got a year left on his deal. So that effectively makes him a lame duck manager. And, you know, the old meeting in the hallway of like, we need to talk about my contract. And he's like, I got to put a team on the field next year. And him saying, well, I can't manage this under a 1 year deal. Sure you can. I've done it. You know, that whole convo, like, I have a feeling Mike Shildt gets extended. I think that's probably the right move at this point. But, you know, these are all things to think about. There's a lot of guys. There's a lot of guys with some uncertain futures on this team right now. I'm not quite ready to parse it all out and go through what needs to be happening. I will say this on the record: Ruben Niebla needs to be the first priority, number one. Ruben needs to stay here. His old pal Terry Francona is going to be back managing the Reds. And he's got some experience with him. They could throw some money at him, but do you want to live in Cincinnati? Do you want to live here? You want to work with some of the guys that we got here? I would like Ruben to stay very much.
I would hope that if the Padres, you know, match any offer out there, that Ruben's going to want to stay. I mean, he wanted to come back here from this area. I think it means a lot. And, you know, obviously the Padres.
The only reason he should leave is if he gets a manager's job.
Yeah.
If somebody thinks that's the guy we want leading the team.
And it's funny, man, because I thought to myself, had people asking me in my DMs, what do we need? I was not ready to talk about it on Friday night. I'll tell you that. I was not ready to talk about what we need to do for next year. I'm really not ready to talk about it now. But I saw a lot of like, we need to make sure we get this in the lineup. We need to make sure we get this. And I'm sitting there going, okay. The lineup that performed so admirably the entire season. I also am not of the opinion, bring everybody back and just run it back again. I think there is room for improvement, but I can't for the life of me sit here and go, nah, we were missing pieces. We weren't. That's what makes it even harder. It's not like, well, you know, we didn't have the star power. We did. They just didn't come through. But we had them.
Well, I want to talk about that, you know, when we come back, because that's the last thing you have to do is when you reflect, before we look forward, reflect on what was missing then from this team, if anything.
Right.
I mean, it's possible that the answer is, as much as you don't want to hear it, that nothing was missing from this team.
Yeah, they just didn't get the job done.
And they just didn't get the job done. Or was there something missing that should have been done that I think was a huge missed opportunity? I've mentioned it before. I will bring it up again when we come back with Ben and Woods on this after-the-fact Monday. Tough Monday for all of us here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Didn't mention the other injury note for the Padres, but Ha-Sung Kim also had his labrum surgery reportedly on Thursday. But it seems more and more likely that Ha-Sung Kim is going to opt for free agency. When he hired Scott Boras last week,
that'll do it.
That's a pretty clear sign that
you're not looking for a qualifying offer or anything.
Yeah, that you are looking to hit the open market.
Why would I pay you 10% to accept a qualifying offer, Scott? It doesn't make any sense.
I feel like I could have probably just represented myself.
Yeah.
Scott, I really need someone who knows how to say yes to a mutual option.
Yeah.
You think you can handle that for me? I didn't trust my last guy. I think you can say yes to the mutual option.
Kimmy, thank you. We love you. Good luck to you. Please don't torture us down the road is how I
feel
about that.
Please sign in the American League.
By the way, the structure of Ha-Sung Kim's deal also makes it very unlikely that he was ever going to come back, because if he opts out and doesn't take his option, he gets an extra $2 million. So essentially, by opting in, he's only getting $6 million because he's leaving $2 million on the table that he's getting just by saying no to the Padres.
I feel pretty confident in saying he's not going to be our starting shortstop in the year 2025, right?
I think that's fair.
Yeah.
There will be conversations about who will be the starting shortstop going forward.
More than you would ever want to have.
But that, again, maybe a topic for another day. Other injury news from the other side of baseball. In the American League Championship Series, which starts today, Anthony Rizzo has been added back to the Yankees roster after dealing with his injuries end of the season.
Not going to roll with John Birdie at first base. So, I mean, if they can platoon, but yeah, interesting.
So they're getting healthy as they get ready to start their series tonight against the Cleveland Guardians. But obviously, when you lose, you go back and try to figure out, was there a move that could have been made? What should have been done? I've certainly got one that I've been talking about all year. Wish they had done. We'll get to that right after a check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. I think we can all agree why the season ended, because they didn't hit or score any runs the last couple of days. What I find more difficult to analyze is where you could have or even would have wanted to add more offense for the Padres.
Which is weird to say after, 24 straight innings, but I get what you're saying.
Yeah, it's just there's no obvious candidate where you would have said, boy, if they had just made this move. Well, clearly, if they had just traded for Lane Thomas to hit a grand slam at the trade deadline, knowing he was going to do that in the playoffs, that would have been the perfect move for the Padres to make. But, the catching situation wasn't perfect this year, but man, Kyle Higashioka came through a lot, including in the playoffs.
So I
can't say that was where it got away or the Padres would have done anything else in the postseason. In the outfield, Jurickson Profar, scuffled offensively down the stretch, but I don't think there's any manager or GM in baseball who wouldn't have continued to ride with the guy who was an all-star and essentially your MVP for the first 4-plus months of the season. That's just not a move you make, even if you have other options. You're probably riding with Jurickson. Obviously, Jackson Merrill, Fernando Tatis Jr., there's no changes you make there. Losing Ha-Sung Kim to the injury and kind of having to reshuffle the infield a little bit wasn't ideal.
It's not ideal.
But again, I'm not sure what the alternatives were.
The Dodgers did the exact same thing. Remember, they started the season, I think, with Mookie Betts at second base, then to shortstop, eventually back into right field. It happens. Good teams are able to overcome it. And we did. We overcame it. We got into the postseason and got through the Braves. And then, we're in had a 2-1 lead on the LA Dodgers, the preseason pick to win it all. So they overcame a lot of the challenges that were thrown at them this year. They had, huge gaps without two top tier starting pitchers. You had bullpen faltering at times. You figured it out, man. They really did. So it's hard, too. I'm looking at it going, well, we just need more dogs in the lineup. I'm like, bro, we dogged it out all year. Like, our guys grinded it out. This was the grit squad, the power of friendship innings. Like, they did it all the whole friggin' season until they didn't, which was the worst inopportune time for that to happen. So I'm looking at it, too, going, what do you add? Like, bring some guys back, maybe, mix and match, but like I'm not looking at any gaping, glaring holes.
So I again think for me, the one move that I would probably just stay up at night a little bit going, boy, I wish we had done that one. And it goes back to the fact Padres were cutting, obviously payroll, getting under the luxury tax. And I don't think the final numbers get calculated until after all the incentives and bonuses get in there. But the Padres, I think, ended up with a little cushion. Part of it was Yu Darvish going on the restricted list, impacting that. But they ended up with a bit of a cushion under the luxury tax threshold. And to me, Seth Lugo was the move where it would have been another year and a few million more to get him back in that starting rotation. And I feel like the season that he had for the Royals, if you had had that in your rotation, you could have overcome not having Joe and you around for a few months a little bit better, probably won more than a handful, a few more games, maybe even gotten the division title away from the Dodgers, been in a different situation going into the postseason, I think that would have been big, and having him in the playoffs would have been big as well for that rotation depth, especially after Joe went down. That's the one move, you know, I had said it earlier in the season, and I felt like you could have found a way maybe to get Seth Lugo back. I don't think you ever knew he would have been as good as he was, probably the second best pitcher in the American League this year. And he wasn't that expensive.
But he showed you signs that he had that in him.
He did.
You know, certainly. And it wasn't a lot of dough at all. But, you know, look, I started the show talking about this team. I loved it. I loved every second of it until the very end. And one of the couple bright spots out of this, though, I mentioned it earlier. So, number one, now the crying about the format can stop. It can stop. Okay, nobody in their right mind wants to play an extra series. And I'm not saying that the extra series hurt the Padres even. Great position to win this series. But no one in their right mind would turn down a bye. So let's stop crying about the playoffs the way that it's set up, because the Dodgers got in.
The Phillies were the only team with a bye that didn't get through into the championship series
That's
round.
Absolutely right. Okay, so enough crying about that. The other one, man, Dave Roberts is probably going to be the Dodgers manager. Right? There's no reason to make a change now. So Skip Schumacher, I'm sorry. I know you probably wanted that gig, because why wouldn't you want that gig? It's a great gig to have. But Dave stays, I'm assuming, as
if they lose their next four games and, you know, get bodied by the Mets,
maybe not.
It might be revisited. I don't know.
I mean, again, he's getting a lot of his flowers right now, and he's managed well. He's managed well. You know, played Ken Rosenthal and the Padres like a fiddle down the stretch. So that's a bright spot for me, in my opinion. But other than that, man, like, it's going to be hard to stomach it and turn the page to 2025. That's tough.
You're celebrating the fact that Skip isn't going to be getting a extremely high-paying job with a huge payrolled roster next season.
Because I'm massively selfish. That's why.
Apparently anybody else.
You want to know?
You call this guy a friend.
He is a friend.
And you're, like, actively rooting against his career interests.
I can't. It would be hard for me to root against him. You know, except if he's there. Then it would be like, are we even buddies anymore? You know how I feel about your team. So, yeah. But no, look, the playoff format thing is a big one. Like, enough. Who doesn't want to buy? Every team raises their hand. All right, guys,
I've said this for a couple of years, even when it didn't play out.
Right.
You always want to have the buy.
Correct.
In the first round.
Bro, if you're the commissioner, you walk into every team's captain and go, all right, I'm giving out buys. Who wants one? Every single arm goes whoosh, straight up. We'll take one. We need it. We got a guy with a groin. We got a guy with a knee. We got a guy with an ankle. And, you know, yes, we want to buy.
Even in the years when the three of the four wild card teams advanced,
sure,
five of them didn't.
Correct.
This year, seven of them didn't.
Correct.
There's a really good chance, more than 50% every single year, that if you're a wild card team or the third division champion, you're going home after three games or less, either two or three games. There is a 50% or above chance that you are going home. You never want to be in that situation.
Never.
You know, the Padres are in a tough spot because that division title has been closed to them for many years because of the Dodgers. This was the best chance that they had. That's why, you know, that Seth Lugo move is one that hurts me, because I think it might have put him over the hump.
And, yeah.
Yeah, maybe you still would have played the Dodgers, but you might not have. You might have played someone else entirely in that division series. It just changes the entire seeding of everything, you know, in the postseason. And you know, the best chance to win a World Series title will always be by winning your own division, getting one of those top two seeds in the playoffs. Always.
No question. I mean, it's just if you were handing them out, Like on Halloween, every kid raises his hand, you know, for that opportunity. So it certainly stings, man. It certainly does. It's the what if is going to drive you insane. It's hard to turn the page. I get it. I'm still not quite there. I'm like Paulie said earlier off the air. He's been walking around for 2 days just going 24 innings. I've been doing the same thing. I'll just randomly find myself screaming the F word at home. And going 24 innings.
Like yesterday, we were just driving back from Palm Springs, just quiet in the car, and I just go, two hits.
Two hits in the last game.
It had been almost 48 hours.
Two hits. I know.
Two
it's
hits.
The same thing, man.
Two hits.
Two GD hits. That's all we got. Back to back.
Who is, now they still don't name division series MVPs, right? They don't start until the championship series.
Right.
For if you had to name one from each team, though, I mean, I'm going
Teoscar.
Yu Darvish for the Padres.
Oh yeah,
Teoscar had the grand slam and the home run. It's hard. You know, a collective bullpen MVP for the Dodgers would be a pretty good way to go, I would think. But singling anybody out is hard to do when you're only pitching two and a half innings in a series. So Teoscar's probably their choice.
Tanner Scott was so elite. I'm going to miss him terribly next year. I loved him in the playoffs. He was everything that you could have asked for, and then some. The way he handled Shohei, the way he handled everybody, he was outstanding. I will miss him terribly. Expect him in Dodger blue. They got money to burn, and
not that they need him.
No,
but they don't want to see him facing Ohtani anymore.
Like if the Giants are smart, they'll go after Tanner Scott. I mean, because again. You know, he's proven, that's my guy. I can get him out no problem. Well, every time.
And when you say you're going to miss him, do you just assume
the
Padres wouldn't pay to keep him around,
correct,
whether it was in a closer or an eighth inning role? As long as he gets paid, I don't think he cares about his save numbers at the end of the season.
But he's going to make...
That bullpen was so effective all season long. Don't you want to keep that bolstered bullpen as much as you can?
But he's going to make... We're already paying Robert Suarez a good chunk of change to be our closer for the next few years.
I think you've also got internal options that you really like. You know, even guys we didn't see at the end of the year, but, you know, Jacob, Reynolds, Cosgrove still coming back, hopefully healthy.
Yeah.
You've got them, and you've got Hoeing both coming back next year. Morihone could be bullpen, could be starting rotation. You've got a lot of high leverage arms that if you're going to devote money in free agency in the offseason, and I think you do, you need starting pitching to replace Joe. You might need more offense, you know, to replace Ha-Sung Kim or someone who else that leaves before you're spending a ton of money on a luxury relief pitcher left-hander. Not that I don't love Tanner Scott as well, would love to have him back, but to me, that's just not where you're going to devote. We'll talk about this all coming up, but it's not where you're going to devote the most of your money in the offseason.
Yeah, he's going to make a ton. He's going to make a ton of cash. And by the way, well deserved.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, as well deserved, it's just great. What he did, I really loved him. He was fantastic. But yeah, they got some tough decisions to make, as all teams do right now. And, you know, the hope is that AJ Preller stays as creative as he was this year. And you hope that those moves pan out. You know, the Donovan Solano moves, the Peralta moves. And I don't look at this team as it stands today and go, you just bring everybody back and just run it back again. No, I think there's some moves that you can make. We'll talk about it. We have nothing but time to talk about it. But I know it hurts.
The toughest part of being the GM is that you're trying to pay guys on projecting what they're going to be doing
not
in the future.
What they did.
Not what they've already done. So, and that can be the hardest part of the job because you really, you'd love to reward someone like Jurickson Profar for what he just did for you, but can you project anything similar to that in the future for Jurickson Profar?
Yeah.
That's going to be the big question in the offseason.
Yeah, and what's it going to cost you? Because it's going to be more than $1 million that you got him for this year. He's not signing for $1 million, nor should he. So, yeah, it's tough.
Very tough.
Very tough.
24 straight scoreless.
24.
Two hits. I mean, they had... I went back through the stat cast of Game 5.
Yeah.
Padres had what would be considered 8 hard hit balls. Mm-hmm. More than they actually had more hard hit balls than strikeouts in that game. Of course, most of them were right at people.
Yeah.
They had Manny's 2 drives to the warning track. You had Tatis's double play grounder. He went even harder. I think the last out of the game was one of the hardest hit balls. Tatis was really, really good all postseason. You cannot flip the narrative and say he didn't come through in the last couple of games and go, Tatis wasn't that great. He was phenomenal in the postseason.
He was.
I mean, next level phenomenally good.
Yeah, he was. You know, again, though, you look at it as the last game, the opportunity to do something, and, you know, the Stars did not get it done. The Stars were not Stars at all in the last game, and that's a tough pill to swallow, man.
Nobody was anything. Outside of Darvish.
Yeah, Darvish was fantastic. He was fantastic.
Even the Dodgers really went out of their way to tip their caps to Yu Darvish after the game. They really, brilliant. I mean, he didn't strike out a ton. How many strikeouts did Darvish have? Just four. But man, the soft contact he was getting. He flummoxed so many guys over and over and over again in that game. But, you know, you take enough swings, some guys are going to connect. And in this case, it was the two Hernandezes who connected, pulled it. There were no doubters, no doubt about it, that those were going to be home runs. You just don't think the two solo home runs are going to beat you in a playoff game or any other game. Most of the year, that's probably a win for you, Darvish.
Yeah, you were
consistently.
So good.
That's what you're looking for from you.
And his final tweet of the season was just heartbreaking.
You have that? Can you call it up?
I can call it up.
Translated, but you know, he send that one out in English? Actually,
No, he sent it out in
it was just translated.
Okay. And he translated it to. This broke my heart, man. Absolutely broke my heart. Let's see. Thank you for supporting us. All of us throughout the year, whether it was through TV, radio, or at the ballpark, I feel truly grateful for your support. I will find points for improvement and continue to work hard to become a better player. Oh, you didn't do anything, bud. You didn't do anything wrong. You had a couple hanging sliders. They got you. Your offense didn't get you. Didn't have your back. Picked up your brother all season long, man. All season long, you picked each other up until the very last game.
Yeah, a lot of people, you know, even us, question the extension for you, Darvish. He's 30. He'll be 39 next year. But
that was fantastic.
Looks like he, with that repertoire, can still be effective going forward for another at least couple of years.
You, Darvish?
It's not your fault.
No, it's not your fault.
Not your fault, you. All right, we'll come back. Paulie's got a Rindle report. We'll get into a little bit of college football and NFL from over the weekend as well. And then I think we are going to open some phones all ahead here with Ben and Woods at 97.3 The Fan.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.